We took action last night to stop a war. We did not take action to start a war. Those are the words of President Trump today as he addressed the media in West Palm Beach over the killing of a high-ranking Iranian general at the Baghdad airport yesterday. The general is widely considered to be one of America's biggest enemies, as he led a subset of the famed Revolutionary Guard and was responsible for killing hundreds of Americans. He is the state in the phrase state-sponsored terrorism. But many are worried about Iran and retaliation, as the country has vowed to strike back. So what are the consequences, and are we prepared for them? Charles Lipson is a professor emeritus of political science at the University of Chicago and a regular commentator for Real Clear Politics, The Spectator USA, and other sites. And he joins us now, as he does often. Professor Lipson, good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for the enlightening introduction.
See, you've got it. All right, so my first question, just, you know, we're learning a lot about this general, a general that many of us laymen did not know about or may have heard in passing. Who was General Soleimani, and why was it important to take him out right now?
He was the second most important figure, I would say, in Iran, and he was in charge not only of essentially their version of the CIA, but all of their external operations across the region, which meant that he didn't just work with these proxy armies in Iraq and Syria and Lebanon and Yemen. He set them up. He was a major figure. And in fact, when he was killed alongside the head of the force that had just attacked the U.S. embassy after previously killing an American a couple of days earlier. So he was there, presumably organizing yet another big operation.
You know, we've heard today from the president and from the press just the idea that this has been this general has been on the radar of other presidents and other administrations. It has been 20 years in the making. Many of the other administrations in question, the Bush administrations and also the Obama administration, stopped short of any sort of airstrike or assassination or whatever you want to call it for fear of retaliation and causing a war. So what is the difference today than was, say, 4 years, 8 years, 12, 20 years ago?
In a word, Donald Trump. But I think that the biggest difference is that the Trump administration has fundamentally reversed the approach to Iran that Barack Obama had. Barack Obama was fundamentally interested in a nuclear agreement. He moved toward essentially a neutral posture between Iran and Saudi Arabia. He believed in extending a kind of open hand to potential enemies like Iran. It was a real enemy, in hopes of striking deals. And he provided them with a lot of cash and other incentives in hopes that that would lead them to become a more normal nation in the region. Critics of that policy said it would lead them simply to fund their terrorist operations. I think that the verdict is that all that money did fund their terrorist operations. They did not become a normal state. You could still argue back and forth about whether it was a good idea or a bad idea to have the nuclear deal, but Trump has decided to do two things. One is to treat them in a kind of tough way, but on the other hand, to only involve military force if American personnel were directly involved. So the Iranians have been ramping up their attack on U.S. allies and interests throughout the region, but Trump essentially did very little when Iran crossed a red line and killed some Americans through proxy forces. That's when he acted.
The word right now that everybody seems to be centered about is retaliation or consequences.
Right.
What can we expect? Because, I don't know if a lot of people really understand the might or the lack of might of an Iranian army or what the targets they might attract. There's a lot of speculation about whether that is cyber, whether that is interests, allies to Israel, of course. What could we expect or what should we be thinking about when we hear the word retaliation and consequence?
I think one of the advantages that Iran has is that we don't quite know what to think. They've got a lot of different capabilities throughout the region, but they have some offsetting concerns. I think that they are quite concerned that if they were to escalate to a kind of full-scale conflict with the United States, the whole regime would be very vulnerable. The United States could take out a lot of their assets and could knock down the regime. What we, the Americans, have learned from hard experience in Iraq and Afghanistan is that we can take out regimes, but we can't easily set them up and stabilize them. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we want the war. I don't think they want the war. They will strike back at us, but I think the key will be how provocative they are and whether in striking back they can manage to contain the conflict with the United States. And I think we've beefed up resources around our embassies. If they could take one of our embassies, as they did at the beginning of the revolution, they'd love to do that. I don't think we'll let them. We'll be very prepared for that. I think they'll want to do more than a cyber attack, which we could respond to by shutting down a lot of their infrastructure.
Some of the questions coming out tonight, and this is one that I'm perplexed on, is the United States' ability to essentially do an airstrike on a general from one country in another country. And that's we've talked about sovereign countries and you can't cross that line, but it seems like in this case, this was American forces attacking a general, an Iranian general, on Iraqi soil. Those are two different countries. I understand they're connected and they're bordered, but how does that play out? I mean, does NATO, does the rest of the world kind of look at this move and question some of those things?
I think it's hard for the Iranians to say with a straight face that America was violating the sovereignty of another country, right, when the whole point of the Iranian project was to set up proxy armies throughout. What the Iranians would like to do, however, is push Iraq, the Baghdad government, get them to push the Americans out of the region. The reason that the Iraqis would be reluctant to do that is it would leave them at the mercy of Tehran and Iranian policy. So I think it's a very interesting issue. But this is a guy who was, we've cooperated with him in the past. Remember when we were fighting ISIS, Iran was fighting alongside us. We didn't fight together in the sense that our troops were together, but we were, sometimes our planes were at the same airport. We were working together, but it was only a tactical opposition to ISIS, and we've always recognized that the Quds Force was a deadly terrorist organization. This is a guy who planned to blow up a major restaurant in Washington, D.C., killing over 100 people in order to kill the Saudi ambassador in the heart of the U.S. Capitol. So this is a bad guy. We stopped it. But, I mean, this is a guy who was willing to take enormous risks.
Right. You know, my last question for you just is, as you know, we look at what's happening in Iraq right now, obviously this concern brings us all back to 2003 and the beginning of the war in Iraq. And there's a lot today just kind of tussling around about whether or not there is an appetite from the American people to get into another situation that is similar to what we had in 2003. Do you feel that? Do you feel that it's similar in what was happening in 2003, or is this an entirely different situation?
It feels entirely different to me, and I would say that if we do end up in a substantial fight with Iran, it would be something that President Trump really wanted to avoid. It would need congressional approval. I don't think you can go into another big war like this. You can strike individuals on a sort of urgent action basis like this without prior approval from Congress. I don't think that's a problem, but I do think that there's no appetite. And it's worth noting that before we got into the 2003 war, we had sent roughly 500,000 troops into the area preparing for the invasion. We're doing nothing like that now. Trump clearly wants to avoid that.
Yeah. Charles Lipson, professor emeritus of political science at the University of Chicago, regular commentator at Real Clear Politics and other sites. Professor Lipson, always great to talk to you. Thanks for giving us some clarity on what's
happening. Pleasure to talk to you, Justin.